Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, let's get here to the phone lines. 916-909-1320. Our man Charismatic on the line. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to chop it up with you guys on a couple of things, get in my Niners prediction, and then make a quick statement on the Kings.
Yes, sir.
First thing, for the Niners and the Eagles, you know, I'm a Niners fan, and I struggled with this one, but I do think the Niners are going to pull it out. I think it's going to be 28-20. I think that Eagles offense is going to be prolific. Two touchdowns or a touchdown in each half is going to be crazy. And then you're going to see a field goal in each half too. And that's, I think that's about it, though. I think the Niners are going to pull it out.
Okay.
And then as far as the Kings go, you know, we've been talking about JK. We've been talking about Ja, all these different trades. Is there a world, and obviously I know you guys don't know the answer to this, but, I mean, is there a world in which we see the Kings trade for Kuminga as well as Ja, and just kind of just basically shortcut this whole rebuild? I don't think that's anything that's been talked about, but I don't really see any reason why they necessarily couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And then with that said, I'm not saying that would, you know, I'm not a big proponent for that deal. I just think, you know, it could be interesting, and I think it'd be something that, you know, we haven't really talked about yet.
Sure. Could they? Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
I don't think it shortcuts a rebuild as much as it might accelerate things, especially if you're able to move off. You have to move off one of the big contracts, be it LaVine or Domas. I'm not even factoring into DeMar into this. It has to be one of the other two. You have to be able to move off of one of them. I can't picture it.
Well, the Warriors would have to take Monk.
Yeah.
They don't want him, right?
Like, there's multiple, there'd have to be multiple teams involved.
It feels like the components of the deals are separate, right? Like, the what it would take to get Kuminga is not, doesn't have anything to do with what it would take to get Ja.
Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, you probably could.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saw the three-teamer we saw, talked about yesterday, it was like Monk for Kuminga, Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ain't got nothing to do with Domas, LaVine, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, I think you could. You absolutely could get Ja and Kuminga, but I don't think you're getting either one of them.
I don't think you're getting Ja. I don't think.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, let me amend that. I think Kuminga's starting to heat up a little bit. There's becoming a lot of smoke around that.
Do you think someone is getting Ja?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that story was put out there today because Memphis isn't, you know, Memphis didn't just go, you know what, guys, let's go on and try to work this out now. I don't think that's what happened. I think Memphis has been having discussions, and it's like, okay, we're pretty comfortable with where we're at. This is going to get out. They've certainly, let me not say that, hopefully they've already told Ja and his agent, and everyone is kind of on the same page with this. And it's like, all right, let's get it out to Shams, and now it's out there in the world. And I think Kyle said this is tracking the same way the Trae Young thing did. We had heard that Trae Young has been available for months. Like, yeah. We knew that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all of a sudden it hits a news report. It hits a tweet. It hits a news breaker that the Hawks and Trae Young are working together to find a potential, you know, suitor. Hours later, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever it was later, it's like, oh, no, his preferred destination is Washington, which was a clear-cut sign that we pointed on the show. There's a deal close with the Washington Wizards, because that sentence in that lower third on ESPN doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. For someone to go, you know what, I want to go to the Wizards. Like, nah, the Wizards, and you could see this in if you read Ja's, I don't call it a statement, I guess it was a statement, but Ja put something out that said, you know, thanks Hawks fans, so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. But it ended with, you know, onward, it, you know, we'll see what this looks like when you're, you know, connected with an organization that's, it's, I'm paraphrasing, that's, you know, built, you know, that wants to support you and build around, do that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. So he had a conversation, him and his team had a conversation with the Wizards that he really liked. Mm-hmm. There's something there. Ja, give it 24 to 48 hours. There'll be a follow-up with Memphis is involved in talks with Brooklyn, B, C, D, E, and F. And then you'll just start to see it wither down, be it in days or hours, and we could wind up in the same exact situation with John Morant.
Yeah, I agree with you. Once again, this doesn't come out from a guy like Shams on top of that. Like, Shams is a guy that teams and players go to get the word out. No disrespect to any other people that break news, but they hear things a lot of the times. Shams is being contacted by these people, by the decision makers, knowing, like, this is the information I want out. So Memphis didn't put this out just to keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was initially thinking, like, maybe it's something that could go towards the summer. Thought about it more, like, no, this is before the trade deadline. Yeah. This is happening in a matter of weeks, potentially days.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one is, you know, the Anthony Davis one, which may have hit a snag last night.
Oh, my God. Man, the group chat. My cousin's group chat. Boy, they had a field day with that one.
For those
they always
that,
talking about Anthony Davis getting hurt, and they had a field day with that one. Come on, man.
For those that aren't in on the bit, Anthony Davis got hurt last night.
What was he doing? Was he dunking, did a windmill, and got tripped up, and, like, you know, he was just so airborne, and, he was diving on the floor or something like that, right, and ran into a chair, and it kind of went into his back, something like that, right? Like, what happened?
He was moving. I'm not trying to
moving be moving where, off the screen?
Nope.
Moving to the corner three? Like, what are you talking about?
He just was moving.
What do you mean moving?
He was moving on the basketball floor. Like, if you stood up and moved to the other side of the desk, that's what Anthony Davis was doing last night.
This is not funny.
Stop laughing.
It's not funny. It's not funny at all, man.
It's not funny.
That's just crazy.
He was moving. And he got hurt. And it appeared he needed help. Stop laughing.
Come on, man.
Stop.
He needed help
to get to the locker
room. Because he, like, messed up his leg real bad, right?
No.
His ankle? No. Where'd he get hurt?
I think it was his...
Because you said he needed help to the locker room. It had to be a leg.
Mm-mm.
Come on, man.
I think it was his hand. You guys are jerks.
Isn't there a scene where Michael Scott's limping for no reason?
Yes.
Well, what was it again?
No, that was it was Andy.
Oh, Andy. Oh,
when
yeah.
When the gun went off. Yeah,
the gunshot next to his ear.
He's like, what are you limping for? I don't know. Oh, when Pam slapped Mike. When Pam slapped Michael, yeah. He goes limping back to the office, and Dwight goes, what are you limping for? Oh, shut up. You remember.
That was classic. I mean, Pam just hauled off and slapped him.
Yeah.
I think that was season three.
Why did she slap him again?
Well, because he was talking crazy to the guy that they eventually got engaged, and she was already kind of turned.
No, they were already married by that.
That's right. I was thinking of season four.
Yeah,
no, that was Super Friends episode.
Michael was actually sleeping with her mother, which is why
Super Friends.
I mean, Super Fans.
Oh, come on, man.
We got the footage.
Here's AD defending. Oh, that's so. Dude, come on, man. Like, did his hand get caught?
Look, he hurts it right there. He starts to grab it after.
That's
What happened there?
That's crazy.
I don't know.
And then look, you broke news. I didn't know he had to be helped to the locker
room. Well, no. So I think what happened is
Paul Pierce's wheelchair out.
I think what happened is he was walking to the locker room.
Yeah.
And he's holding, and he kind of like, he's you know, when you hurt your hand, you kind of bring it in close.
Yeah.
He's like, he has it like clutched, and he, no pun intended, he has it, you know, clutched into his stomach, and he's walking to the locker room, and he kind of like stops and, you know, kind of keels over.
Have we heard what happened, like what's happened to the thumb? Like, is it like any,
I think they're doing the work today. I don't believe there's been a report on it yet, but like the MRIs and all of that stuff is today. Look,
I'm gonna just say this, because he got hurt. He's not trying to get hurt. He's not trying to be this way. Dog, if that's not a broken thumb.
Thank you.
You're looking really AOC-ish.
Thank you. You just said what I was going to say.
If that's not a broken thumb, it could be, because you can break your thumb a number of different ways. Like, I can understand how that could happen. If it's anything other than that, I'm not wishing it for him. I'm just like, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm going to need something to be torn or broken.
You guys are terrible.
No, it's not. Come on now. We had to help you to the locker room. we got to Ronnie light your thumb at this point.
Oh, yeah, see, I hope you guys feel bad when you find out his thumb is in 7 pieces.
Well,
we'll come back.
I don't want it to happen.
How bad is the Sacramento Kings season? Well, Will Z is going to tell us. He's going to use numbers doing it. We've got Kings Warriors tonight. We'll talk to Will Z. This is insane. I think for the first time this season.
Oh, man. I'm glad we're changing that right now.
That's next on ESPN 1320.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, wow. Well, don't you two feel bad.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Dallas Mavericks star. This was seconds ago.
Thank you for listening, Shams.
Yep.
Dallas Mavericks star Anthony Davis has sustained ligament damage in his left hand, sources tell ESPN. Depending on second opinion and if surgery is required, Davis could miss a number of months.
Get better, Anthony Davis.
Atlanta got to be looking around like, well, okay. Because it seemed, you talk about smoke and fire, it seemed to be that smoke around Anthony Davis in Atlanta, especially post Trae Young, you know, trade was pretty hot. I know Toronto was another name, but there was...
Well,
I couldn't figure out a way that the Toronto thing made sense.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means. There's one less center on the market.
There's always a plan B.
Atlanta.
Anybody interested in a center?
Atlanta. Might I interest you? Atlanta, he's not really hurt.
Mm.
He's just not playing basketball right
now. That's it. He good. He'd be good.
Hey, Will. Will Z is with us.
Hey. How's it going?
What's that?
He was shooting around at practice yesterday.
Oh.
Domas was.
Oddly quiet on Sabonis.
Well, I think he's in the middle of another 5-week stretch.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, like, and it's fine. It can stay as quiet as you want it to be, unless the noise starts to center around Atlanta or Toronto, then I'm all with it. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out a Toronto deal, though. Like, not even like Anthony Davis. For like money, money wise, because every contract that they have that you can make money work probably is a few too many years for anyone who would want to make that deal. Like, there's no positive in it for a Dallas or a Sacramento if you're talking about Anthony Davis or DeMontis Sabonis. Atlanta would make more sense.
Toronto got Barrett in quickly, though. And if you, and depending on how you feel about Barrett, you could pair RJ up with Cooper. You know what I mean? You got a young core now, or I mean, you're not pairing them up with anybody here, but RJ and Keegan or something like that.
Yeah, RJ is 27. This is RJ, right? Yeah, RJ is 27 this year and 29 the following year. Unrestricted free agent after that.
I thought he was a little bit more than that. My bad. I thought he was like 35.
No.
Let me
check him in real quickly here. Real quick.
Quickly's at, we're thinking.
I think Quickly might be like 30, 31.
Clearly, 32. I spelled Emmanuel Quickly in sport tech, spot track.
It's a different spelling. It is a different spelling. It's happened a couple times. I just go to the drop down.
Thank you. Yeah. Dummy. And now I'm looking at stats instead of numbers. Stand by. Actually, everybody just sit here quietly while I find this damn contract.
$32.5 million annually.
This is the one that I think throws everyone off. Jesse said it. He's $32.5 annually. That's this year, next year, the year after, and the year after that. Mm. It's $32.5 into the 2028-2029 season.
And you know what's crazy? I think you got to add another player to get AD's money.
To get AD? Yeah. But what about Domas?
Oh yeah, just go ahead.
Domas, you get, but do you want? So, how do you feel about Quickly and Barrett being on your team for, you know, RJ is two more years. Mm-hmm. Quickly's a while.
Yeah, I'd rather not. Yeah. I'd rather not because of the price and the length of that contract. But I do like those guys as players, and I think that's something that you can work with.
Guessing Scott Perry does too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will Z from SI is with us. Will hasn't had one enjoyable thing to write about one single time this season. I don't think he's joined us through the first 30-some-odd games of the season. Wasn't even sure if Will was still watching the show. It's been so bad.
That's been the problem. That's why we're not
watching. Oh, I'm watching every day.
Oh, it could be.
Don't worry. I'm still here.
Will, this team stinks.
They stink. The worst part is, like, even when they were winning, like, because... at the beginning of the season, like, they were winning, but I remember an article I did and was like, this doesn't look good. Like, I don't know how they're winning these games. And then everything just went downhill so fast. Mm. And like, you could totally see it coming. But now looking at it, so what I wanted to do, I think we were joking about it in the chat the other week, was doing a like worst stat of the week because it's very fitting for the Kings season. Mm. So I was like, all right, let's do it. I think I'm going to do it every Friday. I'll do a best stat of the week too, because there's still some good things going
there's
on.
There's no way there is.
I'll find something. It'll be like
Russell Westbrook moved up another stat. List.
For some people, it's the lost
those a lot.
That's the best stat.
Between him and DeRozan.
Yeah, that's true. Lottery odds increase.
Yeah. The Kings' offensive shot profile is what I looked at for today. And we all know that they aren't taking or making many threes, but I think there's more to it than at least I realized. Like, worst offense in the league is shocking for this team and how many talented offensive players they have. So I really wanted to figure out kind of why that was happening. Injury is obviously a big part of it, but the shots that they're taking, so they starting with threes, are last in the league with 30.5 attempts per game. They're shooting 34.3% on them, which is 24th, and that puts them at 10.5 made threes. That's last in the league. The other spot that they're really kind of devolved in is at the rim. So in the restricted area, they're taking 20.1 field goal attempts per game. That's third fewest in the league. They're making them at a 67.1% clip, and that puts them at 13.5 made restricted field goals per contest. So we're talking the two best shots in the game, especially like analytics wise and everything. Like, I don't get super into the like analytics of shooting threes and layups only. I think there's a good balance. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at like what are the best types of looks you can get, it's generally at the rim or an open three. Mm-hmm. They're getting the second fewest field goals in the restricted area and the fewest amount of threes. And that just decimates an offense. And I think that's a huge reason why they have the league's worst offense. So shots have to come from somewhere. And for them, they are leading the league in both the floater area and the mid-range field goal attempts per game. The floater area, they're taking 23.4 per game, mid-range 15.2, both the highest in the league. And I think that leads a lot into what personnel they have. They just obviously DeRozan is going to take a lot of mid-range shots, but they have so many mid-range shooters. And without Sabonis there, they don't have anyone to kind of feast inside. They don't. Reynaud, he's great in that his little floater is great, but he doesn't get looks at the rim compared to what Sabonis was getting. And they don't have guards that get all the way to the rim like Fox used to. And it's just kind of, it puts them in position where they have to be nearly perfect on offense and on defense, really, to even be in games. And that's why they get blown out all the time, because they just, it's hard to keep up when you're taking a bunch of little floater shots or mid-range shots.
A lot of people were predicting their woes from beyond the arc and not being able to shoot. Mm-hmm. Some of these other numbers were predictable for a lot of people. Are there any numbers that show them not being as productive as maybe you would have thought of coming into the season?
Yeah, let me pull it up one more time. Definitely one, and something they've been really good at the last few years is, even though they haven't been a super high volume shooting three-point team, is Kenny, your favorite stat, the wide open threes. Mm. They just aren't generating good looks. So wide open threes, they're getting 15.2 per game. That is last in the league. Surprise, surprise. And 37.7% on their wide open threes. And that's just brutal. Mm. Like, that's 21st in the league. Any guesses on who's taking the most wide open threes for the Kings?
Russell Westbrook.
Nailed it.
Westbrook, wow.
Yeah, 4.2.
My guess is defenses are like, yeah, go ahead, dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Brody.
And that's where defenses know. They're like, we're going to leave your bad shooters open. And he's making them at 42%, which is fine for a wide open three for him. But like, you can clearly see defenses know exactly how to play the Kings. And it's not hard because they just pack the paint. That's why they're not getting to the rim. And they leave certain shooters or non-shooters open. Precious, he's taken a lot of threes lately. They just, LaVine, Keegan, Keon, they're not getting those really good looks that you would want from that kind of movement offense that Doug's trying to create.
I wonder if that's a, if that's a roster construction issue. Like the Sacramento Kings can only play this way, or they just haven't found any other way to create an offense. Yeah, and maybe one is, maybe the second one is a result of the first one, or the first one is a result. I don't know, but it, you would think like, hey, this isn't working. You have to do something else. Yeah. And is the answer like, no, we're just not capable?
I think, I think it's a little bit of both, where it is a roster construction situation. But I also look at, they have had one of their best three-point shooters taken away, and they've taken away one of the other ones in Malik Monk. I'm talking about Keegan Murray's been hurt for most of the year. Mm-hmm. And in Malik Monk, I'm not exactly sure where he falls on the number aspect of his three-point percentage and all this other stuff, but I know he's a guy that teams have to respect when he goes to shoot a three-point shot, and they've taken him out of the game plan. So, and a team that already struggled to shoot threes and find those type of open looks, they've lost two of them for pretty much most of the year.
Mm-hmm. And Monk's been, what's he at this year? 40.8%. And he was making, I think he was at like somewhere between 1.8 and 2.2 wide open threes per game in the games that he's played. So again, even he's not getting great looks, and that's probably because when he's out there, teams know they can put some more focus on him. To me, I lean more towards roster construction. Maybe that's just a hope, because I love Doug Christie and I want him to succeed. So putting it more on roster construction kind of takes some of the blame off of the coaching staff, maybe the players. But I don't know. It's tough.
And then when you do get a Keegan Murray back in there, he's not hitting threes. Was he shooting 28% from beyond the arc?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's 28.
I can pull it up again. I wrote an article.
Here's a stat. Let's run this one. How many games have the Kings missed this year?
How many
like
games?
Total when you yeah, when you add up Keegan, Domas,
how many?
Yeah, how many play, games? How,
it's their 28, mm-hmm. and, or excuse me, their 8 and 29.
We know Keegan and Domas haven't played one single second together.
About to say
they haven't played one second together.
Off the top of my head, I'm gonna say like 120 games they've missed. Because you factor in Zach LaVine, you factor in Schroeder was out for a little while. I'd say 120 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you count in DNPs in that?
No,
like when I was going from injury.
No, yeah, no. Because then it gets a little, dicey, and it gets a little confusing. Where are you at? We'll ask you this. I don't know if you've written about this. Where are you with the Keon Ellis and the Malik Monk stuff? Keon is obviously in the lineup right now. He wasn't to begin the season. Malik Monk was in the lineup to begin the season. He's not. Who should the Sacramento Kings be playing? Should they be playing both of them? Why does it seem like there's such a interest around Keon Ellis around the league, but not here in Sacramento?
I don't know if other teams, I assume teams watch full games, but Keon is such a like highlight defender that like probably other people are seeing those highlights and seeing like he still has great.
Have they seen the highlights of his endless ability to foul on a 3-point shot attempt or no? Do those do those not make it to the tape?
I doubt it.
I know it doesn't happen once a game. I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. Like it. God bless it. It feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's almost like a on the defensive side. He's like an offensive player that's streaky with their shot.
Mm-hmm.
Keon's defense is like when he's locked in, it's special. It's almost how we feel maybe about a Malik Monk on offense. When he's locked in on offense, like, man, he's dynamic. He's doing a lot of great things, and he's helping the team out. But when Keon just isn't in the groove defensively, he makes those silly mistakes, misses assignments, gets beat, and he's streaky in that way as opposed to his shot being streaky. And that's I think that's something that you got to see him on a nightly basis to understand, or to somebody's coach's point and GM's points on a daily basis to understand.
Yeah, and a little like another stat that I love is the on-off net rating. So the Kings' rating when they're both bad, but I mean when Keon's on the court, the Kings have a -14 net rating. When he's off the court, they're at -9.9. So it's not like they're great either way. Like we all know, they're terrible. But they are, so far this season, worse when Keon is playing. On the flip side, Monk has a positive 4.1 net rating. So again, they're bad both times. But when Monk is on the court, -10.4. When he's off the court, -14.5. They're both bad numbers. But they're saying that the team – oh, my bad. That was Precious. Monk's at 4.8, -7.9 when he's on the court, -12.7 when he's off the court. They're bad all around. That takes into account the whole lineup that's out there. So it's not a perfect stat, but it shows part of a picture. And I think it's part of a little more that we see with Keon. For me, I always go back to you're not getting a rounded, just stats-wise, you're not getting that much from Keon outside of defense and even three-point shooting sometimes this season. Like, it feels like he's either going to have 15 points or 0 points, and there's no in-between.
Now, much like I'll defend a Trae Young, a Jordan Poole, LaMelo Ball, like, this guy isn't a winning player and all this other stuff. I'll do the same for a guy like Keon Ellis, where like on a better team, I think he looks better. I think he plays better on that end of the floor and all around. And I think I still believe what we've seen from Keon is a little bit more of a product of his environment, for lack of a better term. Product of
this year.
Okay. Yeah. I think he just it hasn't been in a good space.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the roster, mm-hmm. playing mm-hmm. time, everything that's going mm-hmm. around, and he's been affected by it, I think.
Yeah. Feels like everyone is. Mm-hmm. Like, I should do, that'd be a fun idea, to look at who is averaging, like, career lows across the board or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I know DeRozan's numbers are way down from his career. Like, it's affecting everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's taking them all down.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend. This national media is Will Z. Yeah. SI. We appreciate
you.
Well,
you're not doing your job. Well, you should be making jokes about the Kings.
Yeah.
More jokes.
I know. Probably get more clicks, too. But
yeah, more clicks. Hey, that's it. Jokes. Yeah.
I got to maintain my integrity.
Yes. We appreciate you, Will. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good
one. Bye, Kennedy.
Bye. Kennedy, Hannah. Bye, guys. Hannah, see you on the Peloton. We'll see you. You hear what this kid, you hear how sad Will sounds?
It's just sad. It's sad. They didn't take.
How hard you have to work to make Will Z sad?
They didn't take his joy. Damn near took his numbers.
I don't know if there's damn near. They took his numbers.
They're like,
at least all the good ones. It's so crazy.
They didn't take
how many years ago? How many years ago was it that this team had the most incredible offense in NBA history?
Like three.
It lasted 1 year before the rest of the league was like, hey, let's do that. And Kings wound up being middle of the pack the second season. Oh, how nice it would be to just be middle of the pack right now.
That would be fantastic. It reminds me of a conversation, Kyle.
Remember when you said it'll never be like this again?
I didn't mean this.
Bro, you weren't lying.
I
had no idea how truthful that statement was at the time.
This was not the foresight I thought I had here. I thought, yeah, we're just going to be, the thought was just second round. I'm excited, but it wasn't like being team one. Second pick.
No. They're like, you think it was bad before? Watch this.
Oh, man. But Kings Warriors tonight, Vontae Hill coming up at 3:15. Kyle asked the question to James about the quote unquote rivalry, Kings Warriors. You think it's still a rivalry?
No. No. I don't. Well, one team probably is fighting more amongst each other than anything else. Another team is just dead. They're belly up dead. There ain't no rivalry there.
The example that they used, and fan rivalry, right? So, like, the example they use is no matter what's going on, the Kings want to beat the Lakers. Kings fans want to beat the Lakers. Do they have that same feeling about the Warriors?
Oh, sure. I guess.
Is it the same? Do you think it's the same as the Lakers?
No.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
It felt like the Warriors rivalry, especially after the second play-in game, or after the play-in game, mm-hmm. not the playoffs, the play-in
second
game.
Second time they play.
Yeah, that it was going to be like, okay, this is just something we have to deal with moving mm-hmm. forward, and this will be contentious because the Warriors probably aren't going to be championship level again. So the two teams are going to be in the same vicinity for a while,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't happen. And so it really just became that one-off. The NBA milked it. They went with it. They ran with it. And then they were like, oh, what's your guys's? Oh, brother, these guys stink. And it never happened again.
Bro, they squeezed the hell out of that lemon, the NBA did. Played them like every
preseason
Friday.
Games. It was like three preseason games. Steph hit a game winner in a preseason game, and I was dejected over it. Then you had, like, I think it was four matchups in the first. Maybe it was three matchups. Maybe it was three in the first, like, 2 weeks of the season, 3 weeks of the season.
Man, to a certain degree, they might have done a disservice to this quote-unquote rivalry. By the time we played the fourth game of the season on November 28th, I remember we were on here like, bro, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, never want to see them again.
I don't want it like I'm done. I don't care if they win or lose. I just don't want to play them anymore.
Yeah.
And I think NBA might have killed it.
Well, that was also coming off of the heels of the series, which lasted a month. From the time we found out it was going to be Kings Warriors.
Yeah.
Remember, the Kings made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have to do the play-in.
Right.
So had to wait a week. NBA loved it. Spread those games were spread just all the way. How much rest can we give these two teams? And I think the series damn near ended in May. I think it was Cinco de Mayo when that series ended.
Look, the whole thing was 3 weeks from the last game of the regular season to the Sunday afternoon of Game 7 was 3 weeks.
It was nonstop Butcher Boy and Bonte Hill and some character named Drew Down came out of nowhere and Uncle Loon. And it's like, what is happening right now?
Dot, dot, dots.
Oh, dot. Oh, my God. I don't think I've been on that station since.
Oh, man. It was. Yeah, but I think we're far from that. Far, far, far from that. I don't think it's the same as the Lakers.
I'm not up for tonight's game.
No, absolutely not. I don't care what happens.
They could be playing the dream team of 92, and I don't think I'd be up for the game.
I don't care what happens tonight. Like, I'm gonna be watching. I'm being a loft, but I got a bigger TV and a smaller TV.
The loft is it's his really rich area in his house where there's TVs.
It's just a loft. It don't have a door. That's why it's not a room. So it doesn't have a wall either. Well, it's got the two that over on the side, but you get what I'm saying. But there's
I don't understand rich person talk.
You don't? Mm-mm. All right, we ain't gonna go there. I saw what jacket you had on last night. Yeah.
Shout out King Melly. That's all that was.
But there's like a 45. I don't even know the measurements. There's like a 45-inch TV and a 40-inch TV. And usually if I really want to, what gets priority is on the 45-inch TV. That's what I'm watching. That's where the sound is up. The other one is just on so I can divert my eyes over there. Indiana, Oregon being on.
Oh, yeah.
That one being on 45.
Oh, yeah. No, we're iPad vibes tonight. Plus, the Kings play Sunday. Oh, yeah, we're iPad tonight.
Tonight. Matter of fact, depending on what college games are on, they might get multi-view. Well, no, they're not going to get because they don't let you do it yet.
That's true. You can watch Friends, though, if you want to. I learned that. If you wanted to watch a college football game or a college basketball game in Friends, you can.
All right, man.
We'll come back.
All right.
We like to do overreactions during the NFL season. What about some NFL season-ending overreactions? Mm. Plus, ESPN had an interesting trade involving the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers?
Say word.
We'll talk about it next here. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, friendly reminder, our man Dusty Baker is going to be watching Wildcard Football tomorrow at Baker Family Wines. You want to go hang out? And I mean this in the most literal sense. If you want to go hang out with Dusty Baker, you could do it tomorrow at Baker Family Wines at the Tasting Room in West Sacramento on Industrial Boulevard. You can head over to bakerfamilywines.com, find out more details about where it's at. What you could do there, but he's got the TV screens up. It's a great time. We've done it with Dusty before. We've done it with Dusty and people who've pulled up. We've always had a great time. And for those that have asked, like, is Dusty accessible? He's the most accessible human being you'll ever meet. If you want to see how wine is made, they will happily show you. Chick will show you. They'll walk you through the whole process. If you want to grab a bottle of that dark rosé Kenny and I are always talking about, you could do that there right in the tasting room. If you've ever been to the Nugget, being in Elk Grove, Granite Bay, wherever, and you look for that wine with the baseball stitch, but you can't find the 755 with Hammer and Hanker. You can't find that dark rosé. They are all lined up there for you at the tasting room at Baker Family Wines. And I encourage you, grab an extra one. Ask Dusty to autograph it for you because he will. And when you see that bottle with the autograph on it, you'll be happy that you did that because that is a tremendous collector's item for a sports fan. And it's an even better gift for someone in your life who's a sports fan.
And it's never too early this time of year to think about Valentine's.
Buddy.
It's Never too early.
I ordered that gift today. Make sure it gets here on time.
See, I still got birthdays to get through, but I'm still thinking.
Yeah, you have a tough stretch.
Yeah, I'm
Isn't Shaz's birthday coming up?
It's 2 days before Valentine's.
That's right. I knew it was.
Mom's is the 21st of this month. And then, as somebody once said, I can't say their
Thoughts
name.
And prayers to you.
The storm is over.
Who said that?
Some guy.
Why can't
singer.
You say their name?
No. Well, just some.
What is their initials?
Some singer. Yeah. I'm not going to. I'm not going to
say his name, but it's what?
It's R. R. K. Is his. That'll end the stretch of November to February. That is death for your boy.
Financial death.
Financial death.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I won't mention this guy's name. I'll give him his initials. OJS.
RK.
RK. Ellie.
R. Kel E. R. K. Kel E.
R. Dot Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, I said his name. Sorry. His initials.
Now he's going to appear. That's how it works. It's
say
like
it three
Candyman.
Times. Yeah, he'll appear.
It's like Candyman.
Oh, man.
We like to do overreactions through the season. So as we head into wild card, and we'll really dive into wild card weekend coming up here in the 2 o'clock hour. Eddie Gonzalez is going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Bonte Hill going to join us for the final stretch of the show. Really excited about that. Haven't gotten to talk to Bonte for a while. So before we dive into, you know, because once we get to tomorrow, it's just full steam ahead, whether the 49ers win or lose. Like, it is full steam ahead to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back on this season, we saw a couple of things happen. And we have a complete picture for an entire season now. So I'm going to throw some things at you, and you tell me if these are overreactions headed into next year.
Got it.
And we'll start with the Detroit Lions, a team that did all three of us have them out of the playoffs?
The Detroit Lions?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I don't know that I did. I think I co-signed you. And you waffled all over the
whoa,
place.
Whoa, whoa, Kenny. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, you could be a part of that dealers with me.
With me?
I don't know, pal. You erased it.
Well, I don't know. Hey, Jesse did. Jesse was like, hey, I'm out on the Lions. So we'll go a little bit deeper with this. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Lions looked like they had potentially opened a Super Bowl window a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Is that window closed?
I'm going to say that's an overreaction, but I understand the question. I want to see what they do next year. I want to see what they look like. They don't have to win a Super Bowl or anything, but if they're back to being a playoff team, if they figure out some of the things they need to figure out to be consistent on offense and getting those playmakers the ball on offense, and they can get back into the postseason, the window is still there. I got to see a little bit more. So I understand the question in the statement,
mm-hmm.
but I'll say for now it's an overreaction. I'll give them a little respect there.
Yeah, it's an overreaction. Next year they're playing a third-place schedule. I don't think it's too difficult or anything like that. They're looking for an offensive coordinator. If you end up with like someone like Mike McDaniel with those weapons, like yeah, offense can be back to normal again.
Okay.
The players are still going to be there on offense. They're not losing nobody, and they've got some playmakers.
The only way you take a step back offensively, I think, besides like play calling and things like that, is if Jared Goff starts to decline.
Right now, today, this is dumb because free agency hasn't happened, nor has the draft happened. This is based on what you saw. Would you pick them to miss the playoffs again?
No.
Let me see who's in the playoffs.
I think I'm with Jesse.
Like, Green Bay, you're out.
Yeah, I think I'm with Jesse. Like, I don't think I would either.
Green Bay loses on Saturday. Matt LaFleur is still going to be the coach. Aren't
well. Yeah, wait, what?
You said that earlier.
Wait, what?
What are you hearing?
I said that earlier this year, by the way. But yeah, there's kind of like if LaFleur loses, because they don't have a contract extension done, and they haven't really agreed to anything. So if he loses, they're kind of like, hey, not that it will, but it's kind of like, watch out for that situation.
They would be
That
so
would be
foolish.
Insane.
They would be so
That would
foolish.
Be absolutely insane.
Yeah, I agree.
There's smoke. I'm not saying it's happening, but there's been smoke.
Mm.
I will. The answer is I would I would not pick them to miss the playoffs. I would pick them over Green Bay, I think.
I'll tell you who I'm watching. You talking about Green Bay. I'll tell you who I'm watching, and it doesn't matter what happens over the course of the next 4 weeks at all. I'm watching Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago's the team where it's like they can go, too. You can win 2-3 more games. Mm-hmm. Are you Washington? Mm. Hell, are you Detroit? Mm. Are you the team? Oh, man, that was a hell of a run. Ah, they step back a little bit. Or in Washington's case, oh, they step back a lot.
Yeah.
There's a year in between. Right? Or, I mean, Houston falls into that, too. Houston was up, back. Now they're back.
Yep.
Right? But I'm talking specifically about next year. More than Green Bay, I'm watching Chicago.
I think Chicago is here because Detroit. The difference between them, Washington, and Houston is that next year it'll be year three for Chicago rather than year two for Houston and Washington. Last year, Chicago had a lot of these weapons. Like, they added guys, but you had Caleb Williams, you had Swift and those guys. It was a matter of the coaching is horrible. You added
first
the coach.
First year, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, you progressed in year two, so I think they're kind of here.
I agree. I think Chicago's going to be a playoff team next year.
You think Chicago's going to be a playoff team next year?
That's probably their division.
Okay.
Agree with that, too.
Okay.
Minnesota, anybody care about how Minnesota finished the season?
Five straight, right? So. Four straight, five straight.
Aaron Rodgers' next team.
Oh, my God.
JJ was hurt a lot of the season, and when he came back, that's when they started to play better.
That's still the fourth best team to me going into next season.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not there with them. Did the Saints drafted the best rookie quarterback?
Hey, we got to apologize to this guy. I was making jokes about it, what he did.
I have to apologize to him because I can never say his name right.
Tyler Shug?
Shug. That's what it is. There's always it's a strong.
It took me a few times too.
Okay, Shug. It's a strong end. Yes. That's what it is. Yeah. I remember when the first time watching him play, I was like, his name's Shug, huh? And I kept watching it. It's like, okay, you got to remember that. Tyler Shug. Next day, what was that kid's name again? It's not Shu. It's not Shaw. What is it? Shug.
Shug. I'm going to say this is an overreaction because he did really well. I don't know if he's better than Cam Ward. He had the best rookie season, but Cam Ward still might be the better quarterback. That team was just – that Titans team was just so devoid of talent. And they didn't even have a coach. They ended up firing a coach. So it's an overreaction. But I got to give some props to Shrug. He played really well. He played really, really well. Did some good things out there.
I'm going to say that's not an overreaction. I do think he's better than Cam.
Okay.
Not that Cam is, like, bad or anything like that, but I think – because, like, New Orleans didn't really have a lot of weapons, too. Kamara was out a lot of this year. You play with Miller, running back. Chris Olave is a good wide receiver and all that. But I think he was able to help them win games, like, just kind of elevate them a bit.
Same coach, though. Didn't lose his coach in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I'll still take Shaq. Like, I think Cam is good. Like, if you get the right weapons and the right coaches around Cam, he'll be good, fine, too.
But let's add some words to this, then. The
Saints might win the division next year.
Man. Don't do Bryce like that.
The best quarterback in the draft, period, or the best quarterback in the draft right now?
Right now. That's what I think.
That's it, right. Jesse? Now.
I'm going to go period.
I'm going to get you a jersey.
I'm going to go with the take. I'll go period. I like Cam Ward, but like Tyler Shaw played really well this season.
Cam was really tough to watch. Tough to watch in the sense where it felt like the game got in his head sometimes. I think he had a – I don't – you know how the Jets went a whole season not getting an interception?
Oh, my God.
I feel like Cam threw an interception every game. I don't think that's true. It's certainly not true. It just felt like he had a stretch where, like, he's going to throw the ball. He's going to throw the ball to the other team at least once. And it became a thing. And it's like he knows this. Like, he's thinking about this. Then it started happening in the first quarter. Then it started happening in, like, the first two drives. And it's like, oh, they've got to break this somehow.
Yeah.
And – no.
Jackson Dart's been thrown in here a couple times. Did anyone want to make that their pick?
He did some good things. Yeah, he just
played well, but the whole not sliding. I like Jackson Dart. Kind of scares me.
I like Jackson Dart, the quarterback. I don't know.
I'll take Tyler Shuck still.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go. I'll go, but different than you though. I'm gonna go best quarterback right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go best quarterback right now. And I think Cam is really good. I think he has a very, very high ceiling. I think Jackson Dart has a really, really high ceiling also. Shug kind of came out of nowhere and it was like, all right, this is fun.
Yeah. I like both of those quarterbacks. I thought they both did a pretty good job when they played. Since he was such a topic of conversation, anybody have any thoughts on Shador?
I think he's the starting quarterback next year.
I do too.
I do too.
I think he was okay. I think there's things he's got to work on. I think he's the best option.
Oh, for sure, if we're talking about unless Cleveland is just going back to the draft.
That or Malik Willis, I guess. Malik Willis seems to be the Daniel Jones of this free agency period.
Yeah.
But I think I'm rolling with Gabriel Shador, and Shador was up and down.
You better find the Shane Steichen then. If you got Daniel Jones, you know, like if we're going to give Daniel Jones, like his coach deserves some credit for this. Cleveland doesn't have one.
Yet.
They literally don't have one. We got Brian Daboll? Who's coming in to coach that team?
We're positive Deshaun Watson's not the quarterback.
No. If Deshaun Watson is healthy. All right, here's a take.
I guess I'll write it on the board.
If Deshaun Watson's healthy, he's the starting quarterback.
I think he's going to be healthy.
I don't know. I thought Anthony Davis was healthy 2 days ago, but.
Yeah, I'm glad you weren't laughing. I'm glad I wasn't laughing at him. And you were cracking jokes on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, he called him.
I was like, chill, bro, chill. He might really be hurt.
Yeah, and he was out here laughing, kikiing and kakaing.
I remember we tried to tell him, kikiing kaka.
We tried to tell him about Russell Wilson as well.
Yeah, that was me and Jesse, not you. It's crazy, bro.
All right. No, I see. I expect this nonsense from you. But okay, I see my. All right.
Deshaun, so real quick.
Look, the chat. Oh, everybody, not cool, D-Lo. Real funny.
Real quick on Deshaun Watson. Guy ain't played in 2 years.
I was going to ask, start a quarterback. I do not know how old that man is anymore.
Deshaun, I'm going to guess he's 32.
30. Well, he's 30. Yes, he's 30. He'll be 31 on September 14th.
Gotcha.
So that's the startish of the season.
I mean, that will be his mistake, right?
Third or fourth year off? I mean, this year was completely.
Yeah.
And then the year with Houston. I don't know, man.
Does anyone want to guess what his dead cap number is this year?
I'm going to guess it's below 100. It's finally below 100. I'm going to go 60.
I was going to say 73.
Okay, we'll change it to the cap hit because that's better. His cap hit is 80 million. His dead cap is 131 million.
It's still over 100. Oh, my God. How many years are left because they reconstructed it? Is this it, or is there one more?
Next year it could be voided. Or whatever. He can be a free agent next year.
After this upcoming season. After 2026. Gotcha.
Yeah, so pre-June 1st release, he's $131 million.
They have already informed him that he will be released.
Post-June 1st release, he's $80 million cap hit. Unless someone trades for him, it's $34 million, but no one's doing that.
Wow.
You listen to D'Lo and Casey on KIFM West Sacramento, KRX, QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, YouTube, Twitch, and, of course, on 1320 AM. The worst trade in NFL history, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can retire Herschel Walker.
Well, it just beats out the Niners.
The worst trade in the... Is it the worst trade in sports history?
No, Luka Doncic is a Laker. And Anthony Davis is out for the next month and a half.
Yeah, well, soon, AD.
Oh, that's nice of you.
What was that? It was AD, AD Max Christie. Are we missing anyone else? AD and Max Christie, basically.
No, it wasn't any picks either, right?
Yeah.
No. Wow. No picks. Wow. No picks.
Wouldn't let Nico Harrison run my Subway.
Did a hell of a job with Nike, but.
Did he? He lost Steph.
Was that Nico that did that?
I think so.
Why would Nico have been in charge of that?
Because he's the one that they.
I thought Nico was Kobe's right hand man.
He was, but he was still Nike.
AI says, yes, Nico Harrison, as a Nike executive in 2013, was involved in a disastrous meeting that led to Steph Curry leaving Nike for Under Armour. Although some suggest it wasn't solely his fault. He was there,
bro,
I guess.
Bro, this guy fumbled Steph Curry. Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Reddit
did they call him Steve?
No, Reddit says he called him Seth.
Oh!
Nico called him Seth.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That is tough.
Yeah, bro. He can't run my Subway.
I'm sorry. He walks in. Hey, Seth. No, walk out the room now. Like, Nico, you can't be part of this.
Hey, guys. My name is Nico Harrison. I'm here to run ESPN 1320 at Odyssey. We're doomed.
I think we already had one of those, if we're being honest. That's
we're doomed if Nico comes in here to run.
We need, you know what we need? I'm going to start taking notes. We need another live show at Sky River.
The
7 o'clock start.
Yeah, that's what I was,
drinks flowing.
Yeah,
we need another one of those.
Hell yeah!
Because I thought this morning I was in a foul mood this morning because it's like the third night this week I haven't slept.
Had another. Night terror?
No. We were just out late.
Gotcha.
You know,
James outside.
Yeah, it was outside. Yeah. I started thinking of like stories that we've never told that we could tell. Obviously, some recent moves are fresh in my head, and I'm thinking about stuff that's happened in the past. Like, we've never told the story about this. We never told the story about what we nearly did like 4 years ago. What the plan was and how it fell apart in the 11th hour. Never told that story before. Thought, man, we need another live show.
Line it up.
We need another live show. Let's make it happen. Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl.
Not an overreaction.
That's your boy.
It is. You know it is. Wow. I wrote that one.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how someone... Just someone explain to me how they're going to build a team as good as what they've had the last few years.
Okay. We've got to talk
about...
I feel
like the moment's kind of not... He's still got a whole career. Like, he's great. Like you say, he's my boy and all that. But I feel like it's this was... I don't know if you're going to build a team as good as this.
You already know what I'm going to say. That's an overreaction because that's my boy. But...
No, I mean, no. That was really Jesse's guy, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when you say never... That means, like, you can't pull Aaron Rodgers and go somewhere in Stafford or something like that. Maybe that happened. I'm not going to say never. Not yet with Lamar. He's still too good.
Yeah, I'm going to say never. He's going to get a new coach. Won't even know if the coach is going to be good. It's just
so you're already
variables.
Out.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm going to throw one more your way then.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens.
That is, I keep trying to find a reason to say not an overreaction, but yeah. Or excuse me, I keep trying to find a way to say it's an overreaction, but
yeah. It
feels like it's not an overreaction.